That time in Dr. Nolan's rooms was like no other time ever before. It was a time we, all of us, always feared could happen. Just a possibility, mind you. A thought that might enter our heads to prevent our happiest moments from being perfectly happy. A thought you dismiss, the same as if it were a threatening wasp. We hope, of course, possibly to the point of belief, that a time like that would never happen to us. To us. It happened. It came true. That time came true for us in Dr. Nolan's rooms. He told us you would die. I'm sorry, nothing can be done. He'll die in a year, 18 months, he said. Colm is going to die. Our Colm is going to die. It was unreal. I never heard those words in that order before. They drowned me. Even in my desperate attempt to understand, my mind wouldn't let me. You're not going to get it. No, you need to force it way down. All right, I'll do it. There, one sailboat with its sail back on. I had a boat like that when I was a small boy, you know. I don't know what happened to it. No, I remember. I remember what happened to it. I was playing with it in a stream and left the string go by accident. I ran after it, of course, but I was too little, not quick enough, and it disappeared in the current. I cried for hours afterwards. When my father came home from work, he told me that my sailboat would have been carried down to the wide open sea and that it would be much happier there. I didn't mind half as much then, knowing that it was happier in its new surrounds. Yes, it's probably still out there somewhere, bobbing away merrily out in the Atlantic. Somewhere. Hey, don't let the string go. Oh, yes, it's not moving. Because this is a pond. The water doesn't move that much in a pond. And so things on the water don't move that much either. Not like in a stream. Yes, I see. Doesn't matter letting the string go. God, your mother was so brave. Never knew she was strong like that. Never knew. Hope you were good now, she called to you and Francis when we arrived back at Granny's house.
We had pancakes,
Francis confessed. Pancakes? Honestly, Mother. No wonder they so look forward to you minding them. Even Granny. Granny, who knew your mother was pregnant with you even before we did. Even she didn't suspect anything.
I'm gonna make you a fort.
Yes, a fort.
You know, towers, walls, drawbridge. Of course, I'll need to borrow some tools from Mr. Dwyer. I hope I have enough timber. Don't expect it to be very good, mind you. And you must help. No, I can't make a national school instead.
You looked so beautiful in your uniform. So proud of yourself. So willing to make the next step forward. Red shirt, blue tie, blue jumper, navy pants. We told you, you really had to stop sucking your thumb now. I took a picture of you against the back fence. Hey, we forgot to take your sneakers off. All right, your smile doesn't have to be that big. We put your bag on, and I took a picture of you going out the drive. Mother with Francis in her arms in the background, both waving goodbye to you. Back in straight away and change. She called out. You've only another few days to wait. Never knew she was so wonderful. When she wants to cry, she goes to the hot press. She laughs,
There are a lot of things in there that can be used as handkerchiefs. And of course, she doesn't have to show her face. She can go on searching through the neat piles of clothes. You found her out once. You read it in her voice. "Just bang my blasted knee," she told you. You wanted to see it, of course. Became disappointed by the lack of any evidence. Undefeated, your mother limped back to the kitchen. Joe and Timmy were very disappointed with the wooden tank they made.
"What a silly tank,"
Timmy said to Joe. "Then, guess who put his head over the garden wall? Marvin, the bad magician."
"Hello, boys. Will I help you make a better tank?" said Marvin.
"Oh, yes, please, if you would," said Joe and Timmy. And Marvin then waved his wand and turned the broken-down wooden tank into a fantastic metal one. It was just like a real tank, and Joe and Timmy were delighted. They were just about to thank Marvin when the toy tank started moving towards them. Yes, on its own. It started firing bullets at them. Pooh, pooh, pooh. You bet they hurt. Timmy got hit on the arm, and it was just like a bee sting. "Quick, Timmy," said Joe, "jump in the long grass." "You asked me once, would I hate to die? I told you to prepare you for the eventuality, that I wouldn't mind that much. You surprised me when you said you wished that you were Santa Claus. Because Santa Claus stays alive forever." Joe and Timmy were well hidden in the tall grass, and the tank couldn't find them. And then they heard bzzz. There was a toy plane flying just above them, made again by the bold magician Marvin. And it started shooting at them. No? Okay, so it didn't. All right, it was a friendly plane sent by the good magician Merlin. He knows everything. And it started shooting at the tank, and the tank got hit, and boom, it exploded. And then it flew after Marvin. Marvin got such a fright that he dived for cover into a thorn bush. "I practiced being without you. I went to the bank on my own. In the queue, I stood straight and looked ahead of me. I didn't have you dangling about me as I signed my name. I went to the supermarket on my own. I didn't have to stand about at your shelves and eventually pull you away. Without you, I was silent."
"Do you like the digger?"
"Yes, it is. Luscious. You'll have great fun making that. And there are four men included.
What about the spaceship?"
"Yes, as well. Why not?"
"Spaceship to column, spaceship to column. Please take me home."
"Can you carry them?" "Hey, column, look at that tank. Hey, that's exactly like the tank in the story that attacked Joe and Timmy. Let's open the box."
"Hope it doesn't attack us. Look at that. It's big, isn't it? Hey, you wind it up. Let's give it a go." "What? What doesn't matter if the man is looking at us? He doesn't mind." "Hey, the gun lights up as well. Hey, Cullum, it's moving towards you. It must want to come home with you too." "Yes, it does. Quick, Cullum, you better pick it up."
unsettling was the word your mother used. Buying all those presents only confused the poor boy. They didn't make him happy. And what about Frances? She's very aware when she's cut out. She was right, of course, but I didn't tell her so. And her fuse continued to burn. And another thing, when are we going to talk to Colum about God? About who, I said. I saw her redden. You never once went out of your way to explain anything to him, did you? Do you know where he first heard about God? From his friends, out playing. Amazing the information boys pick up from other boys these days. You bastard, she left out. Don't you care? Just because you don't believe, when did you start believing? I'd cornered her. It's our responsibility, whether we believe or not. He's a young boy, and it's only right he should be told by us about God, about heaven. Your mother prays for you every night. I can hear her from the kitchen. She prays that you won't die. She prays that it'll be like as Dr. Nolan said, painless. I pray for you too, silently.
It's just the wind. Did it wake you? Listen to that rain. You want a drink of water? I knew you would. I brought you one. Slowly. Feel better now? Good. You want a cuddle? I love you. Say until you fall asleep? Okay. As long as you don't take too long.
Hey, you've got bony knees.
No, I don't have the toys I had as a small boy. I don't know what happened to them, really. Probably some broke. I probably lost some. No, I don't know where I lost the rest of them. You're going to mind yours? Keep them for your son?
Yes, that's a good idea. Better go to sleep now. Yes, you can. Just listen to the wind and rain outside.
Your mother flew a glass cup to the floor to curse the coolness that had continued between us since our argument. Oh, yes, we were still at war over buying presents, over God. But the thousand splinters of glass needed to be got up. We had to cooperate. We knew the danger for small bare feet. We worked in perfect harmony. It was inevitable, of course. One of us was bound to get some cut, some graze. It was me. It may have been inevitable, but I did it on purpose, just to make sure. The war immediately came to an end. In bed that night, our arms gripped around one another. We agreed not to fight again. I told her at last that she was completely right about buying all those presents for you. We kissed and said our goodnights. As usual, ever since you asked that oddly unsolvable question, I hunted for sleep by racking my mind. What exactly became of all my Christmas and birthday toys?
Colum, wasn't Granny good giving us this tree? This is the time of year when you can take up a tree and plant it somewhere else. You have to wait till autumn when things no longer grow, and then you can move them. Do you know why it's called a stag's horn? Well, because a stag is a deer, and don't the branches look like the horns of a deer? Don't they, Colm? Colm, don't the branches look like the horns of a deer? Hey, buried treasure. I just found buried treasure. Fool, yeah. I knew that would get you up. Ah, hey, now, there was no need for that.
We keep on teaching you. Keep on filling you in on things as we know them. Nothing has changed in that regard. Sometimes, however, I have to check myself to be equally as strict when it comes to brushing your back teeth. God, we are little people. Your mother and I have never discussed this one, but I've noticed we've both stopped badgering you about sucking your thumb.
It's 9 o'clock news. Newsnight on RTE2 is at 25 minutes past 10. Here on 1, we'll bring you a late summary at 24 minutes to midnight. In the meantime, from Eileen, from me, enjoy the rest of your evening's viewing.
Now, if you could just play sensibly. You were fine 5 minutes ago when the cartoons were on, but just because they're over. Look, your mother and I are trying to have a cup of tea. Is that too much to ask? Must we be jumping up every second to deal with you and Francis? We must be able to do things too, you know. Look, why don't you play with Francis for a while? Why don't you get out your box of Lego and make things? Well, I'm warning you now. If I have to get up to you again, there'll be no story tonight. I'm warning... Cullum, what's wrong? Are you all right? Cullum! Cullum, what's wrong? Cullum! Your mother's tears dripped onto your face as we sped to the hospital. I drove like a lunatic. Other cars were obstacles. Only took us 10 minutes to get to the accident and emergency. Instantly, they took you away. 15 minutes later, a doctor came back and told us. We were told 18 months. A year to 18 months. Thought I should finish your bedtime story. Joe and Timmy, you see, were able to make a rope by tying their jumpers together and were able to climb down from Marvin's treehouse. Just when they got to the ground, the tree was struck by a flash of lightning and Marvin's treehouse went up in a puff of smoke. Marvin, the bad magician, never bothered Joe and Timmy ever again after that. God, I love you so. I love you. The pain of being without you is unreal. I never knew pain like it before. I avoid the forest, the park, the beach, the town, the city, the garden shed. I imagine a day when I mightn't think of you for a long while and immediately panic. The prospect appears even more horrific. Here in your room is the one place where I find comfort. I come here when I want to be closest to you. It smells of you. I can breathe you in. I lie in your bed and look across at your shelves of toys. I imagine how you, as you waited for sleep, must have taken in the exact same scene 1,000 times before. Here in your room, I surrender calmly to tears. It has come to me what I'm to do with all your toys. I'm going to pack them away neatly and safely in cardboard boxes. And when Francis has a son, I'll give them to him. On his 5th birthday, I'll drive around and present the toys to him. I'll tell him all about you, too. I'll tell him how lucky he is, because there are very few boys who get toys passed down to them like that. I know you'd approve. There's one toy, however, I will not pack away in the attic. I have a different plan for one of your toys. A pond isn't much good when it comes to a toy boat. The water in a pond doesn't move that much, and so things on the water don't move that much either. Not like in a fast-running stream. A toy boat needs a run in a stream. Oh, it's cold. It's best to stand in the middle, as it gives the boat a good start. It needs a good start if it's to go a long distance. There. I've let the string go. It's off and going well. Got to keep your eye on it now. Got to keep watching until it disappears. Look at it go. It's almost at the bend already. There, it's turning. Turning? Gone. It's natural. It's bound to hurt a lot at first. But given time, you saw your sailboat disappear round a bend on its way to the sea. You'll see, whenever you think of it, you'll think of it bobbing away merrily out there, somewhere. You'll see, you'll think of it that way, happy in its new surrounds.